From Hollywood, California, we present tonight the first story in the new series of radio dramas called Dr. Christian, where the famous Hollywood actor Gene Herschel again starred in the title role. These stories are back on the air after our summer holiday in response to the demands of millions of radio fans who learned to love the good Dr. Christian last year when he was heard in his very human life stories on Sunday afternoon. They are sponsored this year as last by the Teesboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. The Dr. Christian drama comes to you tonight from the big theater in the beautiful new CBS building in Hollywood. The house is filled with enthusiastic followers of Gene Herschel, and so we're going to ask him to come out here and take a bow just before the curtain rises on River's End. Ladies and gentlemen, Gene Herschel.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here I am again, thanks to you people who so kindly accepted our Dr. Christian program last year, and thanks to our sponsor, the Teesboro Manufacturing Company. Believe me, I'm happy to be back. Last spring, I told you that the one thing I looked forward to most during the summer was making a picture with the syndicate, my first. Well, I made the picture, and by the way, it's being released all over the United States and Canada today, and it's called Five of a Kind. Nearly a year and a half had passed since I'd seen those five little darlings, and of course, it was a joy to be with them again. I found them all in marvelous health, just as bright and full of pep and mischief and as lovable as four-year-old children can be. And incidentally, in one of the scenes for the picture, I had to eat breakfast with them. And in order to get long shots and close-ups of this scene, we repeated it four times, and so I had to eat breakfast that many times. When Ron, who of course knows nothing about film technique, saw that, he turned to his sister and he said, "Poor Dr. Luke, he must be awfully hungry this morning." Well, in conclusion, I want to thank you for the many thousands of letters we have received in response to our Dr. Christian program. Believe me, we appreciate it.
And now let us take you by the magic of radio to River's End. It's 6 months since we last visited this neighborly little village nestled on the banks of the river and surrounded by mountains that were then a misty green but are now a blaze of scarlet and gold. Ground is already broken for the new hospital, which you will remember Joe Perino donated to our beloved Dr. Christian in return for the doctor's sympathy, understanding, and very practical help in Joe's youth. A marvelous site has been selected for the hospital, which is to crown the hill at the bend of the river. A few of our houses have been treated to a coat of paint. Otherwise, River's End looks just the same. The cane-backed rockers still idling under the portico of the United States Hotel, the sunlight making the same lovely pattern through the old elms that line our streets. Only Roy Davis Drugstore presents a new note with a handsome window display put up in honor of National Pharmacy Week. And you can be sure Vaseline products are prominent in this display. Certainly the doctor himself hasn't changed a bit. He's got the same kindly twinkle in his eye, the same spring to his step.
Yes, and I'm still wearing the same old street suit I've had for years. Oh, but if you think the past 6 months have been just another summer in my life, you're very much mistaken.
Why? What happened?
Something quite different from anything I've ever experienced. Something revolutionary.
You didn't fall in love?
No. No, but I had a taste of what the result might be if I did.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, it's a long story. But as good a story as I can think of to tell you tonight. It all started last spring. The very end of April it was. I kept to deprive my secretary of the office later than usual that day, taking care of some correspondence which I haven't time to attend during the office hour. We just finished the last letter. Then...
Dr. Christian's office. Yes? Yes, he's right here. It's the mother of seven.
Mrs. Bassett?
Yes.
Hello? Yes? Oh, hello, Mrs. Bassett. Oh, complaining of pain again, is he? Have you been using the medicine regularly? Oh, he broke the bottle. Well, I'll bring you some more when I come. Keep a hot water bottle on your sea ice, I told you.
What?
He won't let you put a hot water bottle in his ear? Oh, but that's ridiculous, Mrs. Staff. He needs it, he's got to have it, whether he likes it or not. Hmm? How? Well, just hold it there. Don't let him push it away. Well, do the best you can. I'll be around shortly.
Jackie worse?
Oh, his ear is picking up a bit. And his mother can't do anything with him. He's knocked the bottle of medicine out of her hand. He's broken it. Won't stay on the towers, and he refuses to have a hot water bottle on his ear.
What he needs is a good spanking, a spoiled brat.
There's a time when I wish my hospital was finished. Why, I'd pop him right in there. Then he'd have to behave.
His mother ought to be able to make him mind, though.
I don't know what's the matter with mothers nowadays, Judy. They don't any of them seem to have control over their children.
Believe me, if I ever have any babies, they're going to be trained, and trained properly.
It's not difficult. If you just start right.
No.
But once did a baby realize he's got the upper hand, you're done for. Take Mrs. Alling's baby.
Thanks, I don't want him.
Maybe you could wean him from his bottle.
Don't tell me that great big galumphing 2-year-old still takes a bottle.
No, he won't go to bed without it. And he's discovered that if he screams long enough and loud enough, he'll get it.
I never heard such nonsense. How does his mother give in to him?
Well, she says she's afraid he'll rupture himself screaming. The fact of the matter is, she can't bear to hear him cry.
All she has to do is shut the door and go away and leave him. He'd soon stop.
Of course. But try to make her believe it.
Speaking of babies, what do you want me to do with all those samples?
Samples?
Baby foods and things. They keep coming in from different manufacturers. I've got a whole shelf full of them. Milk and cereals and toilet goods.
Oh, just leave them where they are for the time being. I may find some use for them later on.
Is there anything more you'd like me to do?
Well, I'll keep you too late as it is. You run along home.
What about yourself?
Oh, I'm going around to Mrs. Bassett for a minute, and then I'll call it a day, too.
Well, give Jackie a good spank for me.
All right.
Well, good night.
Good night, Judy.
Oh, hey, what's this?
Forget something?
I almost fell over this bundle. You couldn't leave your wash on the doorstep. Oh, my goodness. It isn't the wash. It's a baby.
What?
Look.
Well, I'll be blessed.
A live baby. Sometimes you saw.
It didn't walk here, that's certain.
Who could have left it? And when?
Not very long ago, whoever it was. I came in only about 3/4 of an hour ago myself.
And there's been no patient since.
All right, all right. We'll take you inside where we can get a better look at you. There. Now let's see.
You recognize it?
No. No, it's no baby I've taken care of.
I don't see how you can tell. They all look so much alike. What are you looking for?
Well, I thought there might be a note pinned on it somewhere.
Oh, yeah, there ought to be. I don't see any.
Well, let's unpin these blankets. Maybe there's something inside.
Oh, yes. What a teeny little mite.
Only a few weeks old. No, there's nothing here either that would I explain.
The first sample we've ever had left on our doorstep that didn't have some instructions with it.
Not even a label on his clothes to help identify it.
Do you suppose it could be a kidnapped baby?
No. No, the chance is it was left here by its own mother.
How could any mother abandon a darling little thing like this?
For one or two reasons. Poverty or disgrace.
Oh. Oh, the poor little lamb. What? Oh, darling, don't cry. Don't cry, honey. You're all right. We'll take care of you. Oh. Please, baby, please don't cry. Please. Dr. Kitchen, can't you do something to stop it?
He's all right.
All right? Well, just listen to it.
That's not pain. That's just a hungry cry.
Hungry? Oh, how often we treat it. Right away. What?
Now, don't get excited, Judy. There's no hurry.
Oh, I don't know how you can say that. Perfectly evident it's starving. Any minute now it'll begin to turn blue. The samples. We can use the samples of baby food. I knew they'd come in handy. See, darling? See, there's a whole shelf full of cans for you. See? Oh, it won't look. His eyes are screwed tight shut.
I'll fix up some kind of a formula. Oh, in the meantime, suppose you change his pants.
Or is it oh, dear. So it is. Now, how am I going to manage?
Well, that's your problem. I'm the dietitian.
Hush, precious, hush.
Oh, before you start in on that business, call up Roy Davis for me, will you? And ask him to send around some nursing bottles and a box of the first size nipples.
All right. Only hope the baby doesn't burst the blood vessel before they get here. Give me Davis's drugstore, please. Hello? Roy? This is Judy Price. Will you please send around some nursing bottles and a box of nipples?
Small size.
Small size, right away. To the doctor's office, yes. There's no one there you can send this to? Well, you'll have to bring them over yourself. We can't wait. We can't wait. The baby's half starved, don't you hear it? No, no, it's not a patient's baby. It's his baby. What? Just now, on the doorstep.
More than generous of you to make the offer, Mrs. Bassett, but...
Now, Doctor, there's no buts about it. Will and I have talked it all over, and he agrees with me that we're the logical ones to adopt the baby.
With already seven of your own?
Our house is elastic, Dr. Christian, and so are our hearts. Always room for one more.
Well, as I say, you're very generous.
We'd be brought up in a real normal family atmosphere. Lots of brothers and sisters.
Well, I don't think it is fair, Mrs. Bassett, to add to your burden.
Oh, a baby's no burden.
No?
Well, of course, you naturally found it so. A bachelor, quite unequipped. But I'm so used to the dear little thing. I've got it all planned. He can have Jackie's crib. Jackie's outgrown it anyway.
Well, then how about lending it to me?
What?
Well, at the rate the young man is stretching out, he won't be able to sleep in a clothes basket much longer.
Well, I should think whoever adopts him would have a...
Nobody's going to adopt him, Mrs. Bassett.
What?
I'm keeping the baby myself.
You don't mean you're going to raise him?
God willing.
But how can you? I mean, you're not fixed to take care of a child.
Oh, I managed for a month with the help of Judy.
Well, what does she know about babies?
She's learning rapidly.
Oh, it doesn't sound so to me. That poor little lamb has been crying steadily ever since I came in here. He's unhappy.
Oh, he's all right.
I wish you'd let me go into him. I soon find out what the trouble is.
There's nothing wrong with him.
You'll excuse my contradicting you, Dr. Christian, but I'm the mother of seven, and I couldn't...
There. Now, you see, he stopped.
Because she stuck a bottle in his mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's only 4:30, Mrs. Bassett. The baby doesn't get fed until 6.
Then she's chloroformed him.
He simply found out it wouldn't do any good to scream, and so he stopped.
I'd like to lay you a little bet. After all, I've had seven of my own, and I...
And the youngest is 2 to 6? Could I send Ted Peters around for it tomorrow sometime?
Why, yes, I guess so.
Thanks. And now, if you don't mind, I've rather some urgent calls to make.
I still think you're doing the child a great injustice, Doctor, to deprive him of mother love. If you could change your mind about making us adopt him, you...
There's no chance of it, I'm afraid. But, thank you just the same. Oh, and thank Will, too. He has my sincere admiration.
I tell you. Mm-hmm. Well, good day.
Good day, Mrs. Bassett. Judy.
Is he gone?
Yes. Judy.
Oh, I couldn't help it, Dr. Christian. He's going slowly nutty listening to him cry. I was afraid he was disturbing you, too.
Oh, who are on a half a head of sketches?
Does it matter, just this once?
Well...
He was so appreciative when I gave it to him. Look at him. Isn't it, darling, the way his little fingers curl around it?
You wanted to adopt him, Judy.
Mrs. Bassett? What'd you tell her?
The same thing I've told all the others. No.
Well, I'm glad. I'd hate to see her having.
She's got a great heart, that woman. She really does love children.
Yes, but she spoils them. Oh, he's dropped his bottle. It slipped right out of its little hand. And get milk all down its neck. Never mind, Judy will fix.
Our program will resume in a few seconds. In the meantime, may I say a word about the products that make this program possible? Here is an interesting fact which few people realize. One of the most important organs of your body is your skin. It is only a tiny fraction of an inch thick, yet it protects you from all kinds of infection. It helps to regulate your body temperature. It helps your body to get rid of important waste materials. If more than a third of the total skin area of your body were injured so that it could no longer do this work, you probably couldn't live. Because your skin is so important, Vaseline jelly is one of the most useful items in your entire medicine cabinet. It meets literally dozens of skin problems. Minor irritations and rashes, rough chapped skin, burns, cuts and scratches, tired, sore feet, all respond to soothing Vaseline jelly. You see, Vaseline jelly is so wonderful for your skin because it does three things. It forms a thin film that helps to keep infection out when the skin is broken. It assists healing, and it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural skin oils. If you haven't a jar or a tube of Vaseline jelly in your medicine cabinet now, get one tomorrow. It costs only 10 cents anywhere. We return you now to Dr. Christian's office. The time is late afternoon of last Friday, October 14th. Judy Price is sitting in front of the baby, alternately feeding him and cooking.
This little pig went to market, but this little piggy stayed home. Funny, isn't it, the way his toes overlap?
Yes. One of the first things I ever noticed about him.
Miss Abby Hewitt didn't notice it until yesterday.
My. Slipping, isn't he?
Yeah. He lost no time, though, in informing me that we were letting him wear shoes that were too small for him.
What did she say when you told her he'd never had a pair of shoes on his feet?
It was just as bad. She pointed out that it was now the second week in October, and every well-cared-for child should be shod.
These women.
Giving them all something to talk about this summer.
Have you finished the supper yet?
All but the prunes. All right, honey. Let's have a nice prune snack. No, don't turn your head away. Look, here comes a great big automobile. Honk, honk. Right down the little red lane.
You mustn't play games with him, Judy, when you're feeding him.
He won't eat unless I do.
Don't you remember I told you? One start amusing a child with his meals, and the first thing you know, he'll demand a whole symphony orchestra.
Okay. You try and get these prunes down in.
Now, the idea is to look as much like a cigar store engine as possible.
Mm.
Here, Sonny.
Well, he's the one who looks like a wooden Indian. See that jaw clamped shut?
Here. No, don't push it away.
Strong for his age, isn't he?
Come now, boy. Come now. No more sentence now. No more nonsense. Come on now. Eat your prunes. Oh, just try them and see how good they are. Mmm. Good. They are good, aren't they, Judy?
Well, I fixed them just the way you told me to. Put them through the colander and everything.
Well, then there's no reason for his refusing them. It's just a whim.
Well, give me the spoon again. I'll get them down in. Look, precious. Here comes a big airplane. Down. There. What did I tell you? Happy landing. Oh! He sneezed it all out again. All over me.
Not all over you. Look at me.
Oh, what a mess. Why didn't he give some warning? No, baby, no. Take your hands out of that saucer. You little wretch. Oh.
Is that the doorbell?
Oh, yes. Wouldn't you know somebody picked this time to call? Oh, you'll have to answer them, sir. I'm not fit to appear in public.
I don't look too presentable myself.
Let's see. Oh, you're all right. Oh, no. Well, wait a minute.
What?
There's a little blob of cream on your ear.
Where?
Oh, the other ear.
Oh.
Higher. Up higher.
Oh.
That's it. Now it's
got
off. Oh, shut the door into the office, won't you? If it's anyone who wants to see the baby, tell me he's got the spotted fever.
All right.
Dr. Christian?
Yes?
I hope that's fine, dear.
Well, come in.
Thank you.
You're here.
Oh, it's just my answer.
Here, let me help you.
I turned it this morning, but it didn't begin to bother me until a little while ago. Then it started swelling.
Sit down here.
Thank you.
Why, I know you, don't I?
I didn't know if you'd remember me or not. I used to visit in Riverbend quite a lot.
You're Doyle Brendan's cousin.
Yes, that's right.
Lila. Bronson. At least it was Lyda Bronson.
It's silly.
I remember you coming in here when you were about 15 years old. You had broken your collarbone under a rather unusual circumstance.
Playing Juliet on an improvised balcony and it collapsed under me.
Oh, and that wasn't the first time you paid me a professional visit, though. First time it was a case of poison ivy.
Oh, don't remind me of that, please.
You'd made a wreath of twine in your hair.
And being a poor ignorant city child, I thought it was the kind of ivy they crown poets with.
And this time it's a sprained ankle, hmm?
Well, I hope it's nothing more than a sprain.
Well, you take off your shoe and stop and we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Hmm. It is rather badly swollen. And some discoloration. Does that hurt?
No.
That?
No. Why, what are you looking at?
I was just noticing your toes.
Oh, yes, most people think it's on account of my shoes, but it's not. They've always overlapped like that.
Yes. Yes, I imagine so. Well, I guess this is just a case of an ordinary sprain, and not a very bad one at that. I'll bandage you up, and you'll be all right in a few days.
That's true.
Tell me, where are you living now?
New York.
Playing Juliet on Broadway?
No.
Or writing poetry in Greenwich Village?
Oh, I've tried my hand at both, but I was a dismal failure. It seems to be a habit of mine.
So?
So, now I've got a very prosaic job working in an office.
You like it?
I hate it.
Yes, I suppose you would. Anyone as romantic as you.
Oh, I'm not romantic anymore. I've had that all knocked out of me.
That's too bad.
It's a good thing you ask me. Being romantic doesn't pay in this world.
Oh, I don't know.
I do.
Now, if you'll just hold your foot up in this position, and that's it.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry if it hurts, but I have to bandage it tight.
It wasn't that. I jumped because I was startled. I thought I heard a baby.
You did? In the next room.
I didn't realize I was taking him away from another patient.
He's not a patient. He's mine.
Dr. Christian.
Didn't your cousins tell you about my baby?
Well, they did say something now that you mentioned it.
I'll bet they did. She's always been crazy to adopt it herself.
Why don't you let her?
For the same reason I won't let anybody else in the River Sand take him. He was entrusted to me.
Oh. That's awfully fine of you.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm really being very selfish about it. I don't want to give him up.
You don't?
You can't imagine, Lyla, what it's meant to me to have that little fellow with me these past 6 months. It's brought hundreds of babies into the world. I prescribed for hundreds more, but this is the first time in my life I've ever had a baby to live right with me, where I could watch its little body and brain and personality develop day by day. It's been a wonderful experience. So wonderful that I can't help but feel sad.
Sad? Why?
To think that his own mother is missing it.
Maybe she's dead.
Perhaps. But if she's alive, I'm sure she must regret what she's done.
That's all life is anyway, isn't it? Regret.
There. I guess that'll do the trick. If you can't get your shoe on, I can lend you some kind of a slipper and...
Thank you, Doc.
While you get your stockings on, I'll go in and say goodnight to the baby.
Dr. Christian?
Yes?
I wonder, do you suppose I could see him?
Well, he's just ready for bed.
Just for a minute.
Well, all right. Judy?
Yes?
Is the baby socially presentable?
Cleans his skin out.
Oh, then bring him in here quick before anything happens. There's a young lady who wants to see him.
All right. He's awfully sleepy. He's been rubbing his fist in his eyes. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Lyla Bronson?
Oh, yes, of course. I remember. He used to visit Dolly Brinton when I'd come.
Is this the baby?
This is His Royal Highness.
Beautiful.
He's pleased with the compliment. Can you smile?
He likes you, Lyla.
He really smiling at me?
Of course he is.
Oh, you darling.
I guess the liking is mutual.
Could I hold him just for a minute?
Well, he'd have to sit up or something. That dress of yours looks very new.
Oh, I don't mind. I don't want mine. I want to know how he feels in my arms.
Well.
Better sit down first.
All right. Now, give him to me.
Here.
Holmes, so... I mean, he's big, isn't he, for his age?
Well, look who's been taking care of him.
He's beautiful.
He's
beautiful.
Oh, Lila. I'll take him.
No, let me keep him a little longer.
You can keep him as long as you like, Lila.
Oh, don't be rash, Dr. Bishop. She might decide to take him home with her.
It's all right with me.
What?
Would you like to adopt him, Lila?
Dr. Christian.
And bring him up as your own?
My own.
It would be a big responsibility for you, I know, but you'll find it was worthwhile. It would change your whole life, my dear, to have someone to live for and work for and love.
You wouldn't mind giving him up?
I was only keeping him till the right person came along. For I knew that someday, if I waited long enough... She would come. She couldn't possibly help it.
Story in the new Dr. Christian series, which stars Jean Hersholt in the title role. Other artists in tonight's drama were Rosemary DeCamp, young Hollywood starlet, who regularly plays Judy Price, the doctor's secretary. Gloria Holden, whom you've seen often lately in pictures, was Lila Bronson. The baby was done by Dorothy Farrar, whose trick voice is in great demand in Pictureland, and Jane Morgan, famous for mother roles, played Mrs. Bassett. And now, before we tell you about next week's drama, here is a young man whose problem is probably shared by thousands of men listening in tonight.
Well, maybe it isn't important enough to call a problem, but I've certainly had a lot of trouble with my hair. I've got a dry scalp, and most of the things I've tried on my hair just seem to leave it drier and stiffer than before. And then some time ago, a fellow I know said, "Why not try Vaseline hair tonic?" So I did. And I followed the directions about rubbing it on the scalp before shampooing and giving my scalp a good massage. I was surprised how soon it made a difference. My scalp felt better. There weren't any more dandruff scales on my coat. My hair seemed more vigorous. Another thing I like about Vaseline hair tonic, I don't have to douse my hair to comb it. A few drops of Vaseline hair tonic each day make it easy to manage, and it looks natural, not plastered down.
Vaseline hair tonic will not dry the hair or scalp. It contains absolutely no alcohol. It is ideal for use both before you shampoo your hair and as a daily dressing. Vaseline Hair Tonic comes in generous shaker top bottles at 40 and 70 cents and lasts a surprisingly long time. Begin using Vaseline Hair Tonic each day and notice the improvement in your hair and scalp. Be sure when you buy any Vaseline product to look for the trademark Vaseline, whether you are buying the plain Vaseline jelly or any of the famous specialties, such as Vaseline Carbolated Jelly, Vaseline Borated Jelly, Vaseline Camphor Ice, or Vaseline Lip Ice. Next week's Dr. Christian story is called Boy Loves Girl, and Jean Hersholt will again be starred by courtesy of 20th Century Fox in the role of Dr. Christian. This is a most exciting and moving drama of modern youth, so be sure to listen and tell your friends to listen next Tuesday night at this same hour. Your announcer is Arthur Gilmore. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.